This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's going to be a warming trend this weekend. In fact, temperatures coming up near 70 on Monday. We have the forecast a little later in the hour, but we're here talking sports until 1 o'clock before the Pirates take on the Detroit Tigers down in Lakeland, Florida. Matthew Harkins, Matty Ice, is behind the ice. Hello, Matty Ice. How are you today? Everything well?
Everything's going great, except
good.
For the rain, but hey,
yeah. It's warmer, so you'll take the rain, but it's going to get out of here a little bit later, so who knows what you can do over the weekend if you have plans. Meanwhile, I want to remind you that our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. And we'll talk to you on the fan text line as well if you would like to do that instead of call. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, busy, busy times. NFL never takes a break, as you know. A combine is going on in Indianapolis. Quarterbacks will be on the field today. Quarterbacks are always a prime discussion. And that would be the same case here in Pittsburgh because there's still too many uncertainties as they move forward. Kenny Pickett will be back, you know that. He will likely be the starter coming into this season, or at least the guy who's looked at as the top of the depth chart. The big thing coming up here before you would think this combine or the start of the business for 2024 takes place on March 13th, I think it is what the Steelers do with Mason Rudolph. Their intention seems to be bringing him back. However, this whole Justin Fields conversation, which started hot and then really went cold, now may be heating up again, and here's why. Because it seems like Chicago is kind of left between a rock and a hard place right now. Everyone knows they got the number one pick and most likely will go with Caleb Williams or one of the quarterbacks on top. If they do that, you know that Justin Fields not going to play if they draft a quarterback one overall. So there is a market. There was a hot market for him, it sounded like, earlier in the winter. But now it seems like not much is happening. And the longer it goes, the worse it may get as far as a return for Chicago. So what do they do? Do they just keep waiting and trying to play it so that they're making people think they may bring Justin Fields back? A lot of this is, gamesmanship that these GMs play and coaches play, trying to divert you from away from what their original intent will be. Matt Eberflus said this week that, we're going to do what's best for Justin Fields. Well, they're going to do what's best for them, number one. The question is, how many teams want Justin Fields at this point? And that's going to be a real issue. Because if you look at what he's been able to do, the talent is there. There's no question. And remember, the Steelers were very interested. I think that year where he was drafted, the Steelers had the 24th pick. And Chicago nailed, got him at 11th or 12th, something like that. So they didn't really have a chance. And they weren't going to trade up to do it. But they were certainly intrigued with the mobility. Mike Tomlin talks a lot about that. And the mobility has been very well on display in Chicago, where he's rushed for, I think, over 2,200 yards in his time there in 3 years. You know, he's thrown touchdowns, but he's thrown a lot of interceptions, too. He's not that good as a starter in terms of his overall record. And yet, last year, you would have thought that that would manifest itself in a bigger record for the Chicago Bears. They had the number one rushing offense. They had one of the best defenses against the run. They had the things that coaches like, the foundation things that make it almost enticing to be a quarterback. And yet, they were terrible to the point they have the number one overall pick, and he's a part of it. Too many turnovers. So the asking price may go down. And so I ask you this morning, if you call it 412-928-9370, again, it's 412-928-9370, if the asking price fell, and it seems to be falling, to a third-round pick, okay, would you do this? Or are you just so committed to what you have with Kenny Pickett and potentially bringing back Mason Rudolph that you're not going to bring him in? Because if you bring him in, then there's all sorts of issues about who starts, because if you're acquiring, quite frankly, Justin Fields, you're going to start him, right? He has a fifth-year option due. You're not going to bring him in here with the intent to be a backup. And if you say he's going to challenge for the job and there'll be a competition, it may make it very difficult for Kenny Pickett. Now, I should, you know, if you're the Steelers, you shouldn't be concerned, I don't think, of how someone reacts to competition. If anything, that should make you feel better about somebody's makeup and character. They would want the competition, regardless of who the competition is. But I just don't see that happening for a lot of reasons. Money would be one of them. And then certainly Mason Rudolph, if he found that to be the case. And I would imagine a trade is going to get done here. You would think in the next week, 2 weeks, that the signal would be sent that Mason Rudolph would be gone, because he's not going to come back here if you have Pickett and Fields. What would you do, though, for a third-round pick? And if you have an opportunity to get something at a very reduced price that could be huge for your franchise, would you do it? I would like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Steelers do have a couple of second-round picks they can throw out there. They're certainly not going to mess with their first-round pick. At least I don't think so. They need help on the interior part of their defense and offense, offensive line, defensive line. I think that's the most logical place for them to go, and there's some pretty good players who could come right in here and do that. Now, if you're Chicago and you find there's no market for Justin Fields, and all of a sudden you'll be giving him away, you know, they might decide to keep him. I think that's a long shot, but they might decide to keep him and then trade that pick and bring in assets. You know, they have some playmakers, I think, on that offensive side of the ball. If they add somebody like Harrison, the wide receiver from Ohio State, if they add more pieces, you can make Justin Fields look a lot better. If you believe that he can, you know, become a better down-the-field passer, if he could reduce the turnovers. And part of that were a lot of fumbles. So, you know, I don't know. I really think that a deal has to happen sooner rather than later, because to me, the longer the Bears wait, the worse it gets in terms of a return. And at one point, you're probably thinking there was a return and that could be a first-round pick. Well, that's gone. Now it could be second, maybe even third. So what do you do? How long do you wait at 412-928-9370? Also, you know, there's a lot of veteran releases going on here, and there's going to be a lot of people available. The problem with this, if you're the Steelers, is you don't have as much cap space as a lot of these teams. New England, which obviously needs help, a lot of help. They just released J.C. Jackson, who's been a pretty good player and also a very expensive player, so that they have now overtaken the Washington football team with cap space available. They have $100 million available in New England. Now, they need a quarterback there, but they also need more. They need, you know, foundational help, infrastructure help for their team. If you're going to bring in a top-tier quarterback, you don't want him to just get, you know, the David Carr treatment when he was with Houston, and 99 sacks or 78 sacks, whatever he had in his first year on the job. You want to have some infrastructure in place. Washington, $91 million in cap space. They released a few guys this week. Logan Thomas, I think, was among them, and others. The Eagles have a lot of people have money to spend. So there are opportunities out there. The Steelers might well dip into that free agency to talk about, again, inside linebacker, depending on how they view that. There are some pretty good cornerbacks out there, but being true to themselves means that they are going to defer to the one thing that they take pride in is a draft. Now, it's not always been great, but last year was a very good draft. You can help yourself and bring in guys who can play immediately at a very cheap rate compared to some of these guys who cost such much money in the free agent market. I mean, some of these contracts are out there. I was looking at, you know, Carolina's in a tough position with Brian Burns. He is a really good defensive player, but he also wants a lot of money. He wants like $30 to $35 million a year. There was once a time where Carolina could have traded him. A couple of teams were interested, and first-round picks were being discussed. He is a possibility in free agency, or I should say tag and trade. He doesn't get to that point, but tag and trade. They can actually franchise tag him, wait, and then come up with a trade. T. Higgins is another one. Even though he's got franchise tag money at $21 million, that doesn't mean he can't be traded. And quite frankly, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals may want to do that because they have to deal with the Burrow contract, which they already signed, but they also have Ja'Marr Chase, who I don't think is signed longer term. They're going to have to deal with him. Do you want to give $21 million to T. Higgins on a franchise, or would you trade him? You might be able to get some nice picks. But back to Burns, the reason Carolina might be interested in moving him, tag and trade, if you want to call it that, is because they don't have much of anything. You know, they're in a situation where they don't have a first-round pick this year. They gave that away. What are you going to do with him coming back on a bad team? It'd be better to utilize that as, you know, assets. If you can do that, you can certainly help yourself short term. So when I open all that up, it's, you know, it's combine time. There are a lot of guys out there making impressions. There are a lot of guys out there who are going to move up and down, you know, potential draft boards, and the Steelers are certainly surveying all of this right now in Indianapolis. 412-928-9370 is that number. Also want to get into the Penguins, who suffered a loss, one they couldn't afford, I don't think, at Seattle the other day. Grubauer pitches a shutout. Malkin's struggles continue. They continue to just, you know, go on a treadmill, not moving up or down, just staying where they are, which is not good as time continues to tick, tick, tick away. They don't have many games to right the ship, which leads us into next Friday's deadline. No, Penguins are in a situation where they have to make a decision here, I think. And, you know, Kyle Dubas has been waiting to figure this out. He's kind of doubled down on giving them an opportunity as a team to take a step forward, and they started well enough. But, you know, a big win, I thought, the other day against Vancouver when they're down 2-0 on the road against the best team in the NHL, and they came away with a 4-3 overtime win on a nice goal by Erik Karlsson. But they follow that up, even though they had, I thought, some of the better of the play early in that game against Seattle. They couldn't score, and it's 2-0, your final score there. So now they have back-to-backs this weekend with Calgary, with Edmonton. You got to win these games. They're going to see Edmonton twice, part of the remaining games left for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they got to dig out from this deficit. What do you think they should do? What will Kyle Dubas do at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that. And I also want to get into the Pirates a little bit because we got a spring training game coming up here today. We saw Paul Skeens for the first time the other day. One inning, got over 100 on the gun, very efficiently done. One guy I want to see take a major step forward is Quinn Priester. And he looks different. You know, he's spent this offseason kind of bulking up. He needs to utilize that to get back to where he was with the fastball velocity, which really was the big story with him, I thought, last year. When he came up, I was expecting him to be one of those, you know, big dudes who's going to strike a lot of people out. He wasn't. He couldn't get that ball into the high 90s at all. It was sort of mid-90s, low 90s. And as a result, he really struggled in his first go-around here with the Pirates to the point where he had a 6-plus ERA. He's giving up home runs left and right. So it looks like maybe he can turn the corner. Maybe that's a great learning experience. One of the things you know about sports is you can't always just write people off. It's too easy to do that. Sometimes it takes years for people to develop. I think Mitch Keller is a pretty good example of that. When he was first here, everybody thought, untouchable, he's going to be the ace. He may not be the ace, but what he's turned himself into through struggles is a pretty good pitcher. One that they decided to re-sign. 5 years, $77 million. Good deal for them. Should be a good deal for him, for sure. But they still need pitching help there. They need, eventually, guys internally. Skeens will not start, no matter what. He can go 30 scoreless innings in the spring. He won't start here, with good reason. They want to protect another year with him. But he will be up here, and hopefully sooner than later. But Priester's going to be a key also. He's a former number one pick. They need him to take a step forward. So I'm going to be watching him. Ronzi Contreras pitches today. What will he be? Is he going to be somebody who also takes time to develop? You should certainly hope so if you're a Pirate fan, because he has a lot of good stuff, but he's got to figure out how to be consistently getting over the plate and getting ahead of hitters. He can't fall behind because he doesn't have the kind of stuff to dig him out of those deficits. A lot of this is location. A lot of it is just, you know, keeping guys off balance. I think when we first saw him, most people were optimistic that he was going to be somebody who can contribute to this rotation, but then he fell apart completely, as did Ortiz. They need guys like that internally, first and foremost, to step up. They brought in a couple of free agents. To me, they're fourth pitchers, whatever you want to classify them as. They can certainly help. Didn't cost much, low risk, but they need guys internally to do it. And if they can, it would certainly help them. 412-928-9370. We're going to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone lines, and you call with your opinions right here as we go to 1 o'clock before the Pirates and the Detroit Tigers coming your way on all things 93.7. The Fan. And later today, we have Pitt in their final road game, I think, or one of the final road games at Boston College. They need to do some work after losing the other day. They're 9-8 in the ACC. You would think they're going to have to go on a long win streak here through the rest of this regular season into the ACC tournament. We're talking all things Pittsburgh sports. We're right here, 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.